It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to the Insiders. James Hamm back today. Salute to Jesse Tapier for filling in, especially on short notice both days. He did a really great job. So thank you, Jesse. But James, glad you're upright, healthy, at least here, and able to do a radio program. Got a lot to get to today. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm locked in a bubble, but that's okay. Everything's good. Everything's good. Thanks, Jesse, for filling in. Yeah, sorry about the last minute notice, but sometimes things shift on you quick. Like, what in the world happened? We did a show on Tuesday, and by Tuesday night, I was not feeling good at all. And but I'm back.
He's so
we're
back.
Ready.
I want to open today's show with a closing. And what happened at the Oakland Coliseum yesterday for the A's final game, a 3-2 win over the Texas Rangers, was nothing short of incredible. It wasn't. It was exactly kind of what I was hoping it would be. The A's get a win, which is great. It's a beautiful day for baseball in Oakland, which is great. They stayed on the field afterwards. Fans stayed afterwards. And I think the coolest thing before we get in, we're going to welcome Charlie O in here in a second, who is at the game, and we'll get his perspective. But the coolest thing for me, James, aside from what happened on the field, was how many people in the media and how many baseball fans around the league from all over the country shared the outrage of what happened with the A's. And that, honestly, not having to like battle people on what this means and why this is important was helpful. Knowing that there were other people who saw what happened the way it did. Jeff Passan on Twitter wrote, "The Oakland A's were killed by greed. Do not allow the people responsible for this to spin it any other way. John Fisher did not have to move this team. Major League Baseball and its owners did not need to be complicit in it. This was a choice, a wrong one. History will sneer." And
okay,
go ahead.
As someone who lived through like this exact situation, right? The first relocation attempt in 2010, 2011, where the Maloofs tried to take the Sacramento Kings and move them to Anaheim. It was just the same exact thing. And like watching it unfold, like as a young reporter, my first year covering the beat, was absolutely wild. Like watching the fans rally, watching, you know, everything that played out here in Oakland played out in Sacramento. The one difference is that David Stern was a absolutely tremendous commissioner, and Rob Manfred is a coward. And that's just straight up. Besides that, everything was the same. And Kyle, the one thing watching it, like the seventh inning stretch really hit me hard. I started to like tear up, and then watching the Mark Kotze finish afterwards, when Mark Kotze came out on the field, like absolutely dramatic and so well done. But that, it reminded me so much of the late great Paul Westphal and how he was left holding the bag for a bunch of dirtbags, for a bunch of just subpar business people. They turned out to be bad dudes in the end, and they left him in front of everybody the entire season, just like Mark Kotze has been in front of everybody while those guys hid. And that to me was the moment where it really tied it all into the Sacramento Kings and how bad ownership is just a plague on a league. and someone who would allow bad ownership. And this is, it's not just Rob Manfred. He's a coward, but so are the other owners.
Yep.
They're absolutely cowardice in this whole entire thing. They're complicit in everything. And I agree with Jeff Passan. And for someone of his ilk, someone at his, like where he's at in his career, to come out and say something so strongly against Major League Baseball. And that's what that is. It's a shot at, because like this shouldn't be allowed. And bad things happen in business people's worlds, and they lose money, and they lose their clout and their ability to make payroll and to be active. Well, that's when you have to sell and make, just cash out, just make your money and go somewhere else. But to strip a community of their, you know, a baseball team, a basketball team, football team, they mean so much to a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's jobs. It's culture. It's an identity, a global identity. It's everything. And to have that stripped away from you is brutal. And to watch it play out almost identical to the way it did in Sacramento, just really shameful. You know, boo on Major League Baseball and A's ownership and the other owners, everybody involved.
They worked with the city. The city wanted to keep the team. The city was ready to subsidize a $12 billion project that was a waterfront district and not just a stadium. It was going to be a stadium, hotel, shopping, this whole thing. They insisted that it be this ballpark facility and this whole thing, not just a ballpark. And the city was working with them. They're going to give them a bunch of money for it. And then they walked away. Almost like they had no intention of staying. But I would like to celebrate the Oakland Coliseum and the city of Oakland and the A's fans, the 40,000 people who showed up yesterday at the Coliseum. One of the people there, not one of the 40,000, one of the 40,000 plus, one of the media who was in the building, Charlie O, our esteemed boss in the building.
And I brought some of the Coliseum.
Oh, he brought some dirt. Come on, let's go.
I'm going to need some of that dirt, Charlie.
I'll share some with you. It's from home plate.
What? Talk to us about yesterday.
Well, it was kind of a wild and crazy day for me. I went to the Coliseum for the first time in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and brother and I and a couple friends went to see the A's play the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a fan. Never had any idea I'd do anything more than that. I covered my first game in 1985,
mm-hmm.
and I sat in that exact seat yesterday.
Oh, wow. Nice.
At the press box, sitting beside the seat where my late producer would have sat. I lost him 10 years ago to heart disease. That was hard.
Yeah.
That was with me all day yesterday. I did okay through the whole game until I went down on the field to get my dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the groundskeepers that I knew called me and said, "You're not getting sideline dirt. Come over here." He called several of us over that he knew, and he got us home plate dirt. And I turned around and I looked back up and I looked at the press box, because that's where I spent the majority of my time at the Coliseum. And I looked back up, and guys, I had a freaking Field of Dreams moment. I saw Bill King. I saw Lon Simmons. I saw Ray Fosse. I saw some old writers that we've lost. I saw my old producer, and man, I'm telling you, that was it. I was done. I was just done. And I thought about all the great moments that I covered there. I was standing there, and I thought about the Jeter flip that got Giambi. I was there for
all
that.
All right,
game.
That's Charlie's time. Thank you so much, man. Go ahead, sorry.
You know, it was an emotional time for me. I feel, you know, for all those people that are there, I was so glad to be there, because I had gone to one other game this season, and it was me and about 3,500 other people, and it felt so empty. And to be there yesterday and have it be a great A's crowd, I was really glad to have had that experience, because it felt like an A's game. And so to go out with it that way was great. And I agree with you. You know, the guy that it's the commissioner that I hold responsible for this and always will,
mm-hmm.
because That's the difference. The difference is that he decided that baseball needed something in Las Vegas, and he ripped that deal up.
Yep.
And that is the whole reason why this thing's in flux. And now, of course, will they make it to Las Vegas? It's very iffy at this point that they're going to make it to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, that could be very good for us,
sure,
in Sacramento, but will they make it to Las Vegas? Every time I talk to reporters there, every time I look at financials and everything else that's going on, right now they're a team that's homeless.
Yeah.
And their interim home in Sacramento, there's a very good chance it could become their permanent home.
Yeah, which would be great news as long as it means John Fisher is selling the team.
Well, I think that's why Vivek's involved. I got to be honest with you. I've always thought that, because Vivek doesn't go in. Vivek's a good guy, but he's not just a good guy. He's a very good business guy.
Yeah.
So that's why he's involved.
He sees an opportunity for sure. I obviously didn't get to go yesterday, but I scheduled a dentist appointment for today or for yesterday. And, on the drive there after work, I listened to Ken Korak and Vince Catronio.
Yeah.
Just the soundtrack to so many, and it felt like a perfect way to kind of take that in.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously Ken and Vince just did a phenomenal job painting the picture. But Charlie, you mentioned the crowd. It sounded like I was listening to a playoff game.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. It wasn't just 40,000 people there to sit there and be at the stadium. Like, people wanted them to win.
Yes.
Everybody there wanted was cheering, and the vibes were, like I said, it was a playoff atmosphere.
One of the guys yesterday said, I came to a funeral and a baseball game broke out.
Yeah.
And I said, what a perfect description. I said, you got to use that in your article.
Yep.
Because that's exactly what happened.
Yep. It was so cool. And then missed the rest of the game in my dentist appointment. But I got out in time to hear Ken and Vince kind of signing off. And they took Mark Kotze's speech live in the stadium. And I want to play that because, James, you brought it up a little bit earlier. And I think it's such an incredible moment that a manager who, and James, I really think you hit the nail on the head, like, this isn't his responsibility. His responsibility is they have three more games in Seattle. They're going to play those games. And then he has to get ready for a baseball season next year.
Yep.
This is not his job. Whether the A's are playing in Sacramento, Salt Lake City, Mars, Jupiter, wherever, he's trying to put together a lineup and win a game.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Mark Kotze's job is. He is under no obligation. Those players were under no obligation to stay on the field after the game and honor the fans. Mark Kotze certainly was under no obligation to grab a microphone and speak. And what he did and what he had to say, I thought was really, really powerful. If you missed it, here is Mark Kotze after the game yesterday.
There are no better fans than you guys. Thank you all for loving the game of baseball. Thank you for your lifelong support of the Oakland A's. And last, I want to thank you guys for coming out today to share this moment with the club that I'm so proud of. We've played our asses off this year. We still got three left, gentlemen.
And then, well, let's hang on. Let's pause on that. Pretty incredible that he was willing to go do that and to honor the fans like that. I thought that was a really amazing moment.
I think it's crazy too, because you have to remember that Mark Kotze is more than just a manager. He's a guy who roamed center field there for, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of his home fields.
Yeah, it was when it started, the place went quiet, you know, because I don't think anybody was expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And a quiet press box, you know, that doesn't happen. And the press box went quiet because nobody quite knew what was going to happen. And it was an evangelical moment because it was bringing down the house.
Yeah, man. Really remarkable. The last thing he said was, "Let's go Oakland." And I was going to play the TV copy of this, but Ben Ross, who does a bunch of different media stuff in the Bay Area, was on the field and took video of this chant after the game from the field. And I want to play that so you can get an idea of how loud it was at the Coliseum. This is yesterday after the A's game. Play that at my funeral, dude. I was good until that.
Yeah.
I was nothing during the game. You know, I thought maybe hearing Ken, you know, introduce the game for the first time he mentioned the high sky at the call. I thought for sure, like, something was going to hit me. No, I was good. And then, like I said, I missed the end of the game because I was in my appointment. And I came out and I'm sitting in the car, being a weirdo, sitting in the car in the dentist's parking lot, by the way. The place closed right out. I was the last one. And there's like people leaving and like looking at the guys. Like, sorry, everybody, I'm doing a thing. And I was sitting there and Mark Kotze starts talking and you're going, oh man, this is cool. Because Kotze was my guy.
Yeah.
When he was in center field for the A's, I was like 15, 16 years old. Went to FanFest, made sure to get a photo with him. Kotze was my dude. Excellent lefty, great swing. I was like, man, this is cool. What a cool thing. And then the chant started, and that was it. I was toast. It was, man, what a moment. I'm just so proud, man.
Yeah, it was. I almost didn't go. I didn't know whether I could handle it or not. Now I'm really glad I did. But it was tough. Yep. It was a tough day.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
So that's it. The curtain has fallen on the Oakland Coliseum. He's winning 3-2. Mitch Miller,
baby.
Slammed the door.
Taking my dirt and going home.
Charlie, yeah. Thank you. James, you got something else?
No, I just like it's such a sad day. And I think, you know, people out there who are excited about the A's coming to Sacramento, it's okay to be excited for that. But let's let the people of Oakland mourn what's happening here.
Absolutely.
And not make it about you. Because at the end of the day, you almost lost your team and you know exactly what this feels like. And as opposed to let's go Oakland, it was here we stay that was chanting that same mm-hmm. night. And I think people need to like take a step back and you know, give a little bow to the folks of Oakland who played host to a franchise for 57 years and deserve their props.
Yeah. So that's that. It is done at the Coliseum. Their next game will be at Sutter Health Park next April.
March.
There it is. Charlie, thank you so much for making that trek down there, fighting the traffic in and I'm sure out. I saw people lining up at like 7 a.m. at the parking gates.
Oh, it was insane.
Ken Korak said, Ken Korak's been doing games for, what, 36 years now? However long he's been. Almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years.
Damn near 4 decades. He said it was the first time he's ever driven to the Coliseum in the dark. Because they advise their employees like, hey, you got to get here early because it's going to be a madhouse.
Listen, I was so lucky. I slid in right in between the first traffic jam and the second jam, and I was able to park where we usually park. I couldn't believe it. It was I didn't even play the lottery yesterday because I knew I had already won.
Thanks so much. That's Charlie O, everybody. You can hear him every once in a while on this program. Yeah, man. Super proud of A's fans yesterday. Seeing all the tributes and stuff on social media was really cool. And yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
That's what I got without crying. all the way.
There you go.
So that's all I'm going to say.
You did well, Kyle. You survived it.
just barely. All right. So a couple other things that happened yesterday. The Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15 on Thursday Night Football. I want to get to that in a second, but there's something that needs to be clarified again. Because, James, you have this experience as somebody who reports things that sometimes you'll write a thing that's not necessarily a report, but it gets grabbed by aggregators and either misinterpreted as reporting instead of just, you know, speculation or theorizing, or two, twist the words of the report to make it mean something that it didn't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know something about that.
Very recently,
thanks,
actually.
Aggregators. The dot dots from 95.7 The Game, or even this during the last run with Mike Brown's negotiations.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between the ownership wasn't happy about the way the season ended and ownership wasn't happy with Mike Brown.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between those two statements, and one of them I made and one of them I did not.
Ownership yeah. unhappy with the team missing the playoffs turned into Mike Brown on the hot seat. Like, oh my God, what?
Like, what in the world? Yeah.
So
thanks for all of you out there that can read.
The good news for you, James, is this is not exclusive to you, it turns out.
Thank God.
Yeah. Turns out people mess this up all the time. So Eric Branch, who is a terrific reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, covers the 49ers, writes some of just identifies the most fun thing about maybe an undrafted player, or he dives real deep on injury stuff. He's just such a good in-depth reporter, asks the right questions, asks tough questions, just does a really phenomenal job. And one of the things he did was, after it was confirmed that Christian McCaffrey had gone to Germany to seek treatment on his Achilles, Eric Branch talked with a doctor who specializes in the type of injury that Christian McCaffrey might be dealing with. So that's where his medical expertise is. And he just got this doctor's opinion. What does this mean? You know, it could mean he's out this long. It might mean he's out this long. He could be dealing with this, in which case he'd be out this long. Just because that's what a doctor who's asked their opinion about a patient they haven't seen, like, that's what they're going to do. Going to say, well, if it's this situation, here's the general timeline. If it's that situation, here's the general timeline. If this happened, then, like, man, it could be this. It could be this kind of time. And that's exactly what this doctor did. It was a good story. It was well reported. The doctor is a very clearly a smart guy, and that's the end of it.
It's like what we do here with Dr. P.
Exactly. Dr. Pandya comes on, goes. He always says, haven't seen the X-rays, but if he's dealing with this, you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. If this happened, or if they go in and find this, it might be 6 to 8 months. You know, like, that's what we do here. That's what we want to know. Like, okay, in general. And then once the firm reporting comes out, we can go from there, right?
Yep.
We know Christian McCaffrey went to Germany. That's what we know. Aggregators took this story from Eric Branch and started posting, Christian McCaffrey gets bad news in Germany. Because the doctor in this story said, yeah, if he's dealing with X, Y, and Z, he could be out more like 10 to 12 weeks instead of 6 to 8.
Mm.
And this got grabbed as Christian McCaffrey gets bad news in Germany. Update on Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey might be out for the season. All this insane stuff that was like report. It's not a report. That's not what a report is at all. Not even a little bit. I beseech people to please understand the difference between a report, an opinion, a speculation. Like, those are so very different. So now, you've got all these people running around thinking that Christian McCaffrey is going to be out 10 to 12 weeks, and he might be. It might be 4. It might be 6. It might be 12. It might be the season. We don't know. Nothing has been reported about Christian McCaffrey because we don't even know what treatment he got in Germany or if he got treatment in Germany. And that's just so could he be out 10 to 12 weeks? Sure, he could, but we don't know that yet. And the aggregation of that story has turned into this just mischaracterization of what's going on with Christian McCaffrey. So if anybody saw that and if anybody's freaking out, slow down. there's no reporting yet on Christian McCaffrey. We don't know how long he's out. We don't know if he'll be back in 4 weeks or six or eight or 10 or 12 or more. Just wait. Hold your horse.
Yeah, don't sell him in your fantasy league for pennies on the dollar.
Not yet.
Unless someone's offering you A.J. Brown, Leezy, then you can trade him. But outside of that, yeah, it's one of those deals where I think everyone just needs to take a step back and like let the process play out. We have no idea how long he's going to be out. We have no idea what exactly the injury is. And until we know what the injury is, then, you know, you have to sit back and...
Once we know what the injury is, then you can freak out. Then you can panic.
Exactly. It's like, you know, one time there was a shoulder injury with the Kings. It was Rashawn Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a report like, hey, Rashawn Holmes has a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be I think re-examined in 2 weeks. And it was like, okay, so it's my job to go ask, like, what is a shoulder injury?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, it's a shoulder injury. And I'm like, okay.
What kind?
Is it a torn rotator cuff? Is it an AC, a sprained right. AC joint? Is it a grade one, grade two, grade three dislocation? Like, is like just kept going
just getting
through
specifics.
All of the specifics of it. And like, well, we're just saying it's a shoulder injury for right now. It's like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, because that doesn't allow us to make, because when you do hear that, okay, it's a slight dislocation. Now we can go through and look at the medical, like what typically the timeline is for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
No, wouldn't do it. And then it took a month and finally we got he has a torn labrum. It's like, okay, well, that's one of the things I asked you about. Why wouldn't you say that, you know, a month ago? It's like, well, this is what we were comfortable saying then. It's like, okay, well, you saw a torn labrum on an MRI a month ago. Like, what are we doing here? And that's just sometimes they hide. And then sometimes you just don't know, which I think McCaffrey's injury, they just don't know. It should have already been healed by now. Let's be honest. And that's the concern.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see on Christian McCaffrey. We don't know right now, but as soon as there's reporting on it, we will let you know and we'll react accordingly. I actually want to run something by you, James, about the Christian McCaffrey thing that we talked about yesterday. The Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15. A couple of things from that game last night that tie in with the 49ers. We'll discuss that. Plus, Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui. That is coming up next, answering your fantasy questions. That's right. This is for you. We want to know about your fantasy team. So hit us up in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can fire away your questions there, or you can give us a call on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. We can patch you through to Faraz, and you can ask your question your damn self on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Again, that's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Week 4 of the NFL season gets kicked off this weekend, and we're going to kick it off with Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy next. Here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and of course, as it is every Friday at 10:30, Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now. Faraz, you can find him at upperhandfantasy.com, Upper Hand Fantasy on Twitter, and of course, wherever you get your podcast, the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast. Faraz, what's going on, man?
Not much. I think there are just a few players left that we can start in our lineups at this point. You know, Trey McBride's out now, and you know, no Tank Dell. We have a few guys like there's not that many players left. So, good luck.
Should I start myself in fantasy this week?
I don't know if I go that far, it's been bad, man. It's slim pickings on the waiver wire too in every league.
Well, let's get to one of the maybe the biggest injury in fantasy football this year, Christian McCaffrey. How has his injury, and not necessarily just the injury, but just how long he's out in the unknown of when he'll come back, how has that impacted fantasy football this year?
That's the concern. It's the unknown that's the problem, right? Because you can plan around and you can make trades around, you know, the situation if you knew, like, okay, I know he's going to come back week 5. I know he's going to come back week 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, but now it's like, all right, well, what is this workload going to look like? Is Jordan Mason going to continue to share a little bit in that backfield, maybe until they get to the playoffs? And that's when they'll completely take the training wheels off. Who knows, right? So that's a big question. And it's a huge impact because people who have Jordan Mason, they're enjoying the production, but they don't know, you know, when that's going to come, you know, screeching to a halt. And should we trade away Jordan Mason right now so that we can get some long-term asset so we don't have to worry about it? Or do we, if I have Christian McCaffrey, do I trade him away now and try to get something? You know, it's like, what do I trade him for? So it is a lot of questions around it. I don't necessarily have a clear answer, but I will say, if you're 3-0, and you know, maybe you take a little shot, see what Christian McCaffrey costs you, right? If you're 0-3 and you have Christian McCaffrey, you know, do you really want to go 0-4? Maybe you can grab a piece or two that can help you win this week, right? So, mm-hmm. I feel like in those extreme scenarios, I think that's kind of when it's easier to make a move.
You know, for us, sticking with the 49ers, Juwan Jennings went out and had this monstrous week, like 11 catches, 12 targets, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. What does that do for the rest? Should 49er owners be concerned if, say, you have a Kittle, you have a Debo, you have a Brandon Ayuk, that all of a sudden now there is another mouth to feed, even if McCaffrey is out, there's another guy who all of a sudden has this big playability and some sort of connection with Brock Purdy?
I think all Juwan Jennings did was just waste everybody's fab this week. You know, if you spend money up on waivers this week, you're probably going to be disappointed for the rest of the season, because I don't think Jennings is going to be anything more than a flex play, PPR flex play, if that. On an offense with Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, they're not going to be dialing up plays for Juwan Jennings. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So if you picked him up, I'm sorry. You know, but PPR flex play at best. And then Christian McCaffrey's going to come back at some point and earn some more targets over him. So, you know, this is not, if Kittle ends up playing and Debo doesn't, then, you know, maybe you can have, you know, you can play him this week as a flex and, you know, feel somewhat good about it. Maybe as a wide receiver 3, you know, because it's really just Ayuk and then one other target. Mm-hmm. But when all three of those guys are on the field, he's probably not going to be in my lineup.
Interesting. Had a bone to pick
He's never really been a target earner, you know, before this week. Like, this week was kind of like this outlier week for him, right? Like, we've seen...
He had more touchdowns, you know, this week than he had in his previous 31 games combined.
Yeah. It's just, you know, sometimes this happens, you know, and we've had a lot of instances, and we have the data around what happens when he's in the field without Kittle. What happens when he's on the field without Debo? What happens when he's on the field without Ayuk? And what happens when he's on the field without a combination of the other two? His target share never really jumps up, right? So, yeah.
For us, Adiki, Upper Hand Fantasy, upperhandfantasy.com. And, of course, you can subscribe to the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, but do so on the free Odyssey app. Sam Darnold is leading the NFL in passing touchdowns right now. Does that surprise you at all?
It does.
Like where, because I guess let me reframe this. You're a Jets guy.
Sure.
Like, were you out on Sam Darnold before this, or did you go into this year kind of going like, oh, okay, well, this is Kevin O'Connell. He's a good coach and there are a lot of weapons in that offense. He could be a really productive fantasy player.
I will say, like my Jets colored glasses is a pessimistic one, right? It's a pessimistic view, right?
Can't imagine why.
But at the same time, you saw what happened with Geno Smith, and as soon as, you know, somebody else can get a hold of him outside of the Jets brass, he becomes a good quarterback. You know, it looks like Sam Darnold. He went from like the worst possible situation to the best with Kevin O'Connell, you know, working his magic. Was this a possibility? Was this always a possibility? Yes. Was it something I was betting on? Definitely not. Because I saw a lot of Sam Darnold, and he's been really, really bad in his career. So even with the 49ers, he got a little bit of an opportunity, and he wasn't great. Because we've seen so much success with Kyle Shanahan and random quarterbacks, and we didn't see it with Darnold, I was even more pessimistic. But Kevin O'Connell, you know, he's doing his thing with him, man. He's not only just throwing it to Justin Jefferson, he's spreading the ball around, right? Jalen Naylor, 3 touchdowns already as well, and you know, also we also have to keep in mind that that passing overall and scoring overall is way down over the first few weeks of the season. So that also you just happen to have one quarterback who is throwing multiple touchdowns per game, where usually like the case is that we have multiple quarterbacks doing that. Yeah. But no, I got to give credit to where credit's due, and that's Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell.
You know, for us, I had a couple of bad beats early in the season, so we're 0-3. Our team didn't perform well at all last week, but I think I'm in the same boat that a lot of fantasy owners are, where the scoring is down and it's odd, and you have no idea who's going to pop off and who's not. When is it too early to start pulling the plug on the season and start thinking about, especially in like a dynasty league, to start working towards next season and start maybe accumulating some assets or accumulating a potential keeper moving forward?
I would start now. So if I'm 0-3 in a dynasty league, you got to be honest with your assessment of your team and then everybody else's team, right? So if you know that you're not going to compete with the top two or three teams, just start now, right? Those teams are going to be able to pay up more now for certain guys who are playing well. Like if you can offload these veteran running backs now, they have more value because you have the entire season that that person can use, that whoever's trading for him can use them, right? Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, you know, these veteran running backs, they will pay a first round plus for these guys potentially, depending on what league you're in and depending on how badly they need a running back. So in those type of situations, I'm definitely looking at that, because, you know, just go ahead and get that first round draft capital, rookie draft pick next year, and then you don't even have to wait until next year to use it. You could potentially grab a Garrett Wilson, you know, some of these underperforming wide receivers now, you know, because they're buy lows in dynasty.
For us, Adiki Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now. I'm going to get to some listener questions.
You can just hear the disappointment. I'm sorry. You just hear the disappointment in James. Like, oh man, I guess it is time to start reevaluating. It's all good, man. It'll be okay.
We'll be fine. We're always fine.
I'm never reevaluating. I'm always trying to win. I'm gonna run my dynasty team into the ground because I refuse to trade anybody. All right, first listener question of the day. Again, you can hit us up in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Faraz is here to answer your questions, or you can hit us on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. So glad that this person is watching and in the chatty house. And asking questions about their fantasy team. Let's get to Fartcat 69. Do I start Mahomes or Purdy?
Oh my God. I'm going to go Brock Purdy. I'm going Brock Purdy here.
Really?
I'm not going to lie.
He was good
Patrick
last week.
Patrick Mahomes is not even like a great fantasy quarterback anymore. Like the last time he threw for 20 points and a 4-point touchdown scoring was, I think, like week 10 of last year.
Ooh.
You know, and he did it like once. You know, so it's like once, you know, after like week four, week five. So think about it. Travis Kelce isn't the same guy. All he has right now in the passing game is Rashee Rice, you know, who's performing at least. So I don't know. Like now if Purdy's going to get all of his guys back, not all of them, but hopefully most of them, I think he's going to be okay. So I'm going Purdy.
All right.
Great.
Let's go to Russ Dog. Faraz, who is a tight end option on the waiver wire if Trey McBride is out this Sunday?
Ooh.
Oh, good luck. There is nobody there. But I will say that if Pat Freiermuth is available, going up against the Colts, I think if I'm not mistaken, Kenny Moore is also out of this game. Their secondary is just completely depleted right now. If Pat Freiermuth is available, he will be my number one option. Tyler Conklin, he's been running a full route participation over the last few games, and finally he got the targets to go with it. Usually targets catch up to it. So he is also in a situation where he can earn some targets this week. So he's available on a lot of waiver wires. I think those two are the primary options. I can totally understand wanting to go Mike Gesicki, but the problem with Gesicki is that he's in a little bit of a timeshare at tight end. And if anybody's snaps and routes are going to go up, it's probably going to be Eric All and not him. So, you know, that he's more of a little bit of a boom bust option there. So I think those three guys are the primary guys I'm looking at on waivers right now.
I want to stick with tight ends for now. Soren Smith wants to know, when does he pull the plug on Mark Andrews?
I have him as my tight end 10 or 11 this week. So really depends on who your options are. Last week was extremely head scratching. Okay. Because he ran just a handful of routes.
Yeah. It was obviously six.
Didn't pass it a whole lot. But he also just 33% of snaps overall, which is weird because you would think that, okay, if he's not running routes, they're going to run heavy. Maybe he's blocking, but that wasn't the case either. So what is wrong? Right. Now, he did undergo a tightrope procedure last year. And now after three weeks, I'm like, okay, well, is that the issue? Right. Is he just not the same guy? And is he still recovering from that? That's my question. This is the same thing that Tony Pollard went through. And then we saw when he came in last year, he wasn't the same guy. Right. Like he got all this opportunity, but he was just kind of slow and he wasn't making big plays. Is that the case? I don't know. So I'm willing to play Mark Andrews one more time after this week. If we see similar type of usage as last week, that's when I'll be pulling the plug.
Right on.
All right. Let's keep going with some questions from the crowd.
More
here.
From Soren.
From Soren. Yeah. Is Ramondre safe to start versus Niners after his dud last week?
I'll be pretty worried about Ramondre, to be honest with you, this week. I think the Niners are favored by like 10.5, 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something crazy. So it's not great. The good news is that Ramondre is involved in the receiving game most of the time. Last week was just a complete dud. He's outside my top 24 running backs this week because of the tough matchup. So I'm hoping to have another option. If I don't, then it is what it is. At least you have a 3-down back to start.
The Niners can't stop the run, though. It's tough. Listen, it's bad out here. Javon Hargrave's hurt. Jordan Elliott gets carted off yesterday.
What?
Maybe starting like a third-string defensive tackle.
But can they sustain drives? That's the question with the Patriots. Yeah, right? And I don't know. Like, sure, like Ramondre can potentially, you know, even – here's the thing, right? Like, the Patriots get up there. For it's first and 10. Like, what do you think they're going to do?
Run
like, they're going to run the ball. You know what I mean? So it's like it's really hard to, you know, with that type of system – I don't know how Ramondre is going to be super, like his production is going to be super sustainable all year, especially against, you know, better defenses.
Very good. Jake wants to know T. Higgins or George Pickens.
This is tough. I have both of these guys super close in my rankings. Actually, I'm going to pull up my rankings. I want to see, because I know that I've had some movement between these two guys.
Oh.
I love George Pickens this week for a number of reasons. Number one is he's going so because the Colts run so much single high coverage, he is actually one of the best. I would say, I think last year he was sixth highest in yards per route run against single high coverage. When you compare his production versus single high versus two high, it's night and day. And Justin Fields, his first read target share is over 50% when in single high coverage to George Pickens. Unfortunately, he's in a run-first offense, so the volume isn't astronomical. However, when he does throw it to him, he's going to potentially make some plays. So I'm really high on Pickens this week. Higgins goes up against Carolina. That's also a really good matchup. The ball can either go Chase's way or his way. Andre Yoshivas also had the same number of targets as Jamar Chase last week. If I had to go with one, I think I'm going to lean Pickens here just by a hair. It's super close, but I think the matchup is just kind of like the nuts matchup. I don't want Pickens on my bench this week. I think he could blow up.
All right, let's stay in that same line. Let's go to Germ's question. Amari Cooper or Terry McLaurin?
This one's tough. I am going to lean Cooper here just by a hair. I know Jayden Daniels is doing his thing. And McLaurin looked great this past week. But I think Cooper is the guy. I'd rather go with the guy who I think this team is way more pass heavy. They are, I think, fifth or sixth in pass rate over expectation. So that you know they're going to pass the ball in every situation. I'm going to lean Cooper just by a hair here.
You brought up Andre Yoshivas. We're talking with Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You brought up Andre Yoshivas, Princeton legend, earlier. Zabo wants to know, should he go Antonio Gibson or Andre Yoshivas in his flex spot?
I'm going to go Yoshivas. Like I said, like he had the same number of targets as Jamar Chase last week. And you know, against Carolina, I think he'll be okay. I think he's a solid flex play. With Gibson, you just kind of don't know what his opportunity is going to look like. So Yoshivas is on the field on every single play. So I would go with that guy.
All right. Let's just keep going. We've got Chris Ochoa. My wide receiver depth is Jameson, Keenan, Xavier, JSN, and Judy. Jeez. Who do I start and flex?
Oh, this is a good one. I like Keenan, but he's coming off the injury, and I kind of like the perimeter matchups way more than the slot matchup for the Bears. So I'm going to go with Jameson Williams and JSN here. You know, JSN, you know, going up against the Lions on Monday night, the Lions have been really bad against slot receivers so far through 3 weeks. So I like JSN to bounce back. They didn't really need to use him much last week because they were just pounding the Dolphins the entire time and they didn't really need to pass the ball a whole lot. But the Seahawks are second in pass rate over expectation this year. That means they're going to be super pass heavy in neutral situations. So going JSN and Jameson here.
Very good. I'm going to roll through a couple here. Flex spot. Deontay Johnson, Bucky Irving. This is from Johnny G. Deontay Johnson, Bucky Irving, or Kenneth Walker, or Xavier Worthy. A lot of the same guys as last time. Some of the same.
I'm going Deontay Johnson pretty easily here. I don't know if we're going to know if Kenneth Walker is going to be playing. Right, that's my concern. Sure. We're not going to – his first practice was yesterday, and they play on Monday night, so it was more like a Wednesday practice. He was limited, and we're not going to know until later tonight whether Walker is going to end up playing. So Walker would normally be my choice if he was healthy, but Deontay Johnson, his target share last week, you know, from Andy Dalton, it's a night and day type of offense at this point. He's getting the target share. He's getting the production. So I'm all about Deontay this week.
Right on.
All right, we've got a question from JG. Would you start Zach Moss over Montgomery this week?
I don't think so. That Lions game, you know, again, you know, every single week, you know, they have like the highest implied total for the week. So I'm going Montgomery here. He's only averaging like a target less than Jahmyr Gibbs. And he's getting the goal line work. He's getting a bunch of run on the ground. So you got to go with Montgomery. I think he's going to rack up some volume this week.
I have a question about Brandon Ayuk. Would you bench him with him going against Christian Gonzalez?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it depends on your options, to be honest. Sure. But, you know, last week, Garrett Wilson caught 6 balls on Christian Gonzalez. It was only for like 35 yards.
I have him 5 for 33.
Who?
Yeah, Garrett? On 9 targets. Yeah. Just you were in the right range. Yeah.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think Ayuk is going to be fine. You know, if you look at what Ayuk has been doing, he has been separating, against these corners at like one of the highest rates in the league. So he's doing his job. The ball is going to get to him. It's going to come. He missed all of training camp. He missed preseason, all that. It's going to happen. I wouldn't panic over Brandon Ayuk right now.
All right. Very good. Back to the questions. Stephen McBride, Dontavian Wicks, is he a good waiver add and stash in a dynasty league? I hope so because I have him.
By the way, just remember that DK Metcalf also went up against Christian Gonzalez 2 weeks ago, and he burned. He had a crazy game, right? So I wouldn't worry too much about it. It wasn't in his coverage when he ended up going off, but it, you know, these players aren't always in their coverage. Okay,
4 catches Dontavian for 27 Wicks. Yards Sorry. Against Christian Gonzalez.
There you go.
I've got all the numbers.
Dontavian Wicks, good waiver add stash. I think Wicks is a good stash in a deep dynasty league. Even in a regular dynasty league, I think he's a good stash. I'm a big fan of his talent. I think he should be playing over Romeo Dubs if it was my choice. But, you know, I think Wicks is he's going to continue rotating in. And by the way, over the last 2 weeks, his route participation has increased and Christian Watson's has decreased a little bit. So he's moving in a little bit, just inching in a little bit.
Where are we at with Love? Is there a chance he plays this week? Is it going to be a true game time decision, or do you think we'll know before?
I think it's going to be a game time decision, man. It's seeming like he's closer to playing, but like they're really playing mind games over there, and they're playing pretty good mind games, honestly, because I truly have no idea if he's going to play this week, unfortunately, because it makes a huge difference where I have Jaden Reed in my rankings, because Jaden Reed is somebody that you want to, he's like a must start. You know, if Jordan Love is playing. And if he's not, it's hard to get any production out of that passing game right now.
It's Fantasy Friday with Farhad Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. Got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to rapid fire these last couple. if that's all good with you guys. EG wants to know, Mike Evans or Drake London?
Mike Evans.
Peg Junk wants to know, Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes with Rashi Rice?
Oof. Oh, my God.
My God.
I think I'm going to go Rice and Mahomes.
All right, very good. Russ Dog has Montgomery, Gibbs, McLaurin, and A.J. Brown. Which three does he start? A bunch of flexes.
I'm going to bench McLaurin here. So I'm going to go Montgomery, Gibbs, and A.J. Brown.
Okay. John Poles has Jacoby Myers, DeAndre Hopkins, or Ladd McConkey in their flex spot.
I think I'm going with Jacoby Myers. Devonta Adams, is he truly hurt with that hamstring? I don't know, but that's where I'm leaning right now.
Okay. And then Sacktown Tony wants to know, Sam Darnold or Anthony Richardson?
Sam Darnold this week. I'm benching Anthony Richardson just to teach him his lesson.
Smart. I would do the exact same thing. And then last one here, Adam L. wants help with a trade. I don't know which side he's on here, but Tyreek Hill for Stephon Diggs and James Conner.
I'm doing the Diggs and Conner trade. I'm going to grab those two right now. If I can use them this week, especially, I'm taking them. I think so, Diggs, you know, this week, and then Conner is an RB1, so I'm doing it.
So if he has Diggs and Conner, you would recommend he not do the trade?
Correct.
But if he's sending out Tyreek Hill, you would... Got it. Okay.
Correct.
Very good. Faraz, you're the very best, and we appreciate having you on each and every week. Sorry, everybody, whose questions we couldn't get to. But you can hit Faraz up on Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy, online at upperhandfantasy.com. Tons of good info there available for you. And, of course, the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Faraz, you're the best. Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good weekend. See ya. Bud.
Bye. It's Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy.
I love Fantasy Friday.
It's so great. We've reached the point that, like, literally last year we used to be able to go through and the rapid fire at the end would cover just the rest of the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that would kind of be it. We have so many questions left in here that we didn't get to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because so, I was just looking at the star questions
everyone.
Once we got going. Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
sorry
what did
about
I
that,
say?
Everyone.
Oh, yeah, that was nuts. That wasn't me though.
Anyways. Yeah.
So good luck everybody with your fantasy teams this week. I'm going to give you the numbers on Brandon Ayuk though.
Oh.
And I'm going to make the case for having him on your fantasy bench at least this week. We need to talk about Brandon Ayuk in general, because I feel like we've jumped the shark a little bit with the Brandon Ayuk conversation. So I want to talk about that, but then also let you know, if you do have him in fantasy, why you should bench him, because Christian Gonzalez is a really tough matchup. You heard us talking about it a little bit with Faraz, but I'm going to really dig into the numbers and we can decide, James, you and I can decide if the Brandon Ayuk breakout is coming this week or not. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. If you would like to join the program, we have another hour coming right up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, James Hamm over yonder. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And D'Lo and KC will take you right into the weekend. An exciting weekend in the NFL, week four. And a big game for the 49ers, big game for the Raiders. We'll dive into those games individually here. We need to ease up on Brandon Ayuk, though.
Hmm.
I understand he got paid. I understand that he made a stink about getting paid. I understand people are frustrated and that he has to catch the damn football when it gets thrown to him. Like, no question. And if you want to be frustrated by the drops, 100%. He has more drops already through 3 weeks this year than he had all of last season. It's been an undeniably frustrating start. On the other hand, it's not all him.
No.
The ball has to be thrown to an open receiver, and I think this is partially on him because he missed camp, and I think that Brock Purdy and he are just not on the same page yet. And Purdy, I don't want to say throwing blind, but those ones where he's just really trusting that the receiver's going to be in a spot, I don't think he's quite there yet with Ayuk. I think they'll get there.
But it's not all on, it's not like Ayuk is suddenly bad at football.
No, I totally agree. And like, what you have to hope is that, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, that him and Purdy have had time to develop a little bit of chemistry off the field like they had the last couple of years. I'd point out that, you know, Brock Purdy, of course, hurt his back and was a little light in practice early in the week. So there's a possibility they didn't get a bunch of extra time. But there is a point where, you know, as you're, we watched it last night with CeeDee Lamb, right? Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb is slowly becoming CeeDee Lamb that we've known for the last like three seasons.
Yeah, good player.
And, you know, again, he's a player who decided to, like, he was, I believe he did the same exact thing that Ayuk did during training camp. He was there, but he wasn't playing. Or was he not there at all? Either way, I think that there was some chemistry issues early on, but by week four, now we're starting to see the player that we know from the previous seasons. And I would kind of put Ayuk in that same boat, that by this point, there's enough time for him to get his legs under him. There's enough time for him to get some timing. There's enough time for him to build some chemistry with Brock Purdy again. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to start seeing like his ability to get separation. You're going to start seeing the, you know, his route being run perfectly as opposed to maybe what it was before. And then maybe a little bit more trust from Purdy.
So on the CeeDee Lamb front, just to your point, 5 catches for 61 yards in week one on 10 targets. He had 4 for 90 against New Orleans with a touchdown, but they got blown out in that game. The game script was weird. He had 7 targets. 4 for 67 against Baltimore, but again, they were getting blown out. Weird game script, but that was on 7 targets. Last night, 7 catches, 98 yards on just 8 targets. He also had 3 carries for 8 yards and had that long 55-yard touchdown. Like you said, it looked a little more like the dominant CeeDee Lamb instead of the it was more efficient with Lamb mm-hmm. yesterday. And I'm expecting that to come from Brandon Ayuk eventually. But this week, check this out. You heard me mention this with Faraz. Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots, second-year player. If you're unfamiliar with him, Oregon legend, Skoducks, and he got hurt last year, I think had a shoulder injury early last season, so he barely played his rookie year. In 3 weeks this year, the Patriots have played the Bengals, and Christian Gonzalez, when matched up against Ja'Marr Chase, 3 catches for 15 yards on 3 targets. Week 2, DK Metcalf, this is what Faraz and I just talked about. 7 targets, 4 catches, 27 yards. Garrett Wilson, last week, 9 targets, 5 catches, 33 yards. He did get a touchdown. So Christian Gonzalez this year has been targeted 19 times. He's allowed 12 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. Quarterbacks have an 88.7 passer rating when targeting him. I think Brandon Ayuk will get a couple of catches this week, but I don't think the breakout 10 catch, 120 yards, and a touchdown game is happening this week, because I think Christian Gonzalez is going to cover Brandon Ayuk a lot.
So are you saying you would start Juwan Jennings in a fantasy league?
I got to see what's happening with Kittle and Debo first. That's the bigger, that'll have more impact on Juwan Jennings for me if people are thinking about starting him. But I'm just not. Right, I don't know that just from a hey, is Brandon Ayuk good at football still standpoint? If he goes out and has a slow week this week, I'm not necessarily chalking that up to anything other than, man, Christian Gonzalez, heck of a player. Now maybe he doesn't get matched up with Christian Gonzalez at all, and still doesn't produce. In which case, we can have a different conversation. But my guess is the Patriots are going to work hard to make sure he's covering Brandon Ayuk. And trying to make sure that Brandon Ayuk is not putting up huge numbers. And against number one receivers, that's what Christian Gonzalez has done this year. He's shut him out.
Yeah, he's been really good at limiting especially their run after the catch, it sounds mm-hmm. like. You know, that's, what'd you say, 11 catches for 75 yards. So
12 for 75, less, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So less than, you know, 7 yards a catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. What do we have for updates on Debo and Kittle?
Yeah, so Debo returned to practice yesterday. He's dealing with a calf injury. A little bit of a surprise that he came back yesterday, and I can't decide if that means that, he's going to be good to go, or if they're eyeing next week and they just want to kind of get him ramped up. but he was limited yesterday. It is notable that he was back in practice, though. And then George Kittle has been limited the last 2 days. My guess is that George Kittle plays because he was doubtful last week, which meant like there's a small chance he plays, and then they ruled him out Saturday. So it sounds like he's trending the right way. My guess is he plays. With Debo, I'm leaning that he doesn't play, but I would be willing to bet he's like questionable for this week.
Okay.
I'm not ready to lean on him just yet.
So Jennings is probably still a really strong play, and it really does depend on how that game goes. I would say for one more week, Jennings feels like he's a strong play, and I feel bad for people who went out and spent a bunch of their money on, you know, if you're playing in a league where you're bidding on players. Yeah, I mean, if you're bidding a bunch of money on a guy, I would at least give him one start because he's coming off 11 catches for 175 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy, you know, week, a breakout week. So
here's where I'm at on this. When you have a player who has a game where he scores 40 freaking fantasy points,
yeah,
you can feel great about putting him in your lineup. Because look, I mean, the maybe he goes out and has a normal Juwan Jennings game where he has four catches and 38 yards and all four of his catches go for first downs. Maybe that's just it. Maybe that's what it's going to be. But here's the thing that I can't get out of my head. Four of the 49ers' five longest pass plays this year have gone to Jennings. Purdy very clearly is comfortable getting him the football. Nothing Juwan Jennings did last Sunday from a contested catch standpoint was like out of the realm of possibility for him. That's just who he is as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a compromised Debo Samuel, even if he plays, if you've got a compromised Debo Samuel and you've got George Kittle playing it at 75%, you're in third and long. And I feel like Juwan Jennings is the player that Brock Purdy's going to lean on right now, which may be a little bit of the problem with Brandon Ayuk, right? Like, that should be Brandon Ayuk. It should be third and long. Okay, hey, he's throwing it to number 11. That's a receiver he trusts. Yeah. But the reason I can see another kind of big Juwan Jennings game, not like a just for the record, I don't think it's going to be 11 catches, 175 yards, and three touchdowns. I'm ready to go out on that limb and say he doesn't do that again.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you told me, yeah, Juwan Jennings got nine targets and he caught seven of them for 87 yards and a touchdown, I wouldn't, like, yeah, sure. I wouldn't doubt that at all. So I'm absolutely, from a fantasy perspective, from a just getting ready and watching the game perspective, I could absolutely see Juwan Jennings being a factor, even with Brandon Ayuk and all those other guys on the field, just because he's healthy, Purdy clearly trusts him, and he's been his go-to guy. Remember, here's the other thing. Remember before week three, the Niners had a huge fourth down in that game in Minnesota, and Brock Purdy made a tight window throw to Juwan Jennings like 25 yards down the field. He'll throw it to Jennings in a tough spot, and I can definitely see that being a factor moving forward. But we're kind of coming out of the game going, hey, should they have paid Juwan Jennings $30 million? I think that wouldn't shock me at all if that's a sentiment after Sunday.
I remember it was week one. I sent you a text. They got a steal with Juwan Jennings on a two-year $15 million deal.
Yeah.
You can see it right away. Like, oh, the connection is there. And especially if you're going to have situations where guys are healthy or not healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a really, really good luxury to have. And, so far he's been exceptional. He's third in the NFL in receiving yards.
Yeah, man. He's been,
which speaks to the, really good. You know, the receiving yards being down, but also to his one big week.
All that said, the Niners need big games from whoever they can get them from, because please understand that this is not the literal definition. I'm not talking literally, but from a putting yourself on the right track standpoint, this is must win stuff for the 49ers on Sunday. If you're going to be a team that is in the hunt for their number one seed, which they say they want to be, okay, all right, fine. If you want to be that team, then you have to go, to me, not only win on Sunday, but you kind of got to go dominate. I don't care about the injury situation. They should have beat the Rams by a couple of scores, and they didn't because of like execution stuff. And that's where you can't have that here against the Patriots. We talked yesterday, the Cowboys and Giants game was very, very similar to where the 49ers are at, right? The Cowboys needed to beat the Giants. You can't fall to 1-3 and consider yourself serious, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to go win. And the Cowboys did that. They win 20-15. But dude, if the 49ers go beat the Patriots 20-15 and the Patriots have the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win it, that's not serious to me, dude. The Patriots The Patriots are not good. You got to go beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, this is a team where you need to cover the spread. You need to show that you're that team again, right? Mm-hmm. And like again, we watched to compare them to Dallas. We saw Dallas go up against a Giants team that's kind of finding themselves as all of a sudden Daniel Jones has found neighbors, and you know, so they've got this little bit of connection and some excitement. But to barely beat the Giants, a division rival, when you're supposed to be the big dog in your division, mm-hmm. it's just not good. Like they don't look like they're a good team, and then they lose Micah Parsons, and you know, so what I need to see is for the Niners to show that they're not on that same path that the Cowboys are, that they're a much better team than what we've seen so far, and that they're not going to let games that they should win, like last week, slip away, and that they're going to get back on the right path.
Yeah, man, that's I give the Cowboys a little bit of grace because Thursday night games are weird. Division games are weird. Road division Thursday night games, really tough. But we've seen the Niners go into Seattle the last 2 years in that exact situation and do that, and get a win, and get a solid win. If the Niners go out on Sunday, not on a short week, not on a road, not against a division opponent. They have to go beat a bad AFC team at home. Like, yeah, go dominate that game. Even if Deebo Samuel's out, even if George Kittle's out, they have the horses to do it. And they got injuries on the defensive line. Totally, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more against teams that are not the Patriots, though. Like the Cardinals might cook whatever version of the defensive line the 49ers roll out against them in Week 5. But this week, if you want to stay in the serious conversation for one more week, you have to dominate this game on Sunday. You take a win. You will chalk up a W however you can get one, right? But at the same time, if they go beat the Patriots 20-15, and it's the exact same type of game the Cowboys had, it's not going to be coming in here like, hey, the Niners are back, baby. It's going to be like, what the hell? You can't even cover against the Patriots? Now you got to go beat the brakes off somebody, dude. They haven't been playing well enough to just go, oh, yeah, just sneak by with the win. No, go play well. Go be a dominant team. Go be a Super Bowl contender against a rebuilding team. That's it. That is. I don't give a damn about the injury stuff. They're still good enough to go dominate. So go do it. And if you can't, let's have a different conversation.
I'd say the one downfall to this game is that the Patriots have been really good running the ball early in the season, and the 49ers defensive line is you know, again, they'll be starting like a third string defensive tackle in this game.
Yeah,
it's not great.
So if you missed it, which I wouldn't blame you if it did, Javon Hargrave, of course, out with a partially torn triceps. But it was also reported yesterday after practice, Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group reported that Jordan Elliott, who's the 49ers' third defensive tackle, was carted off, and he was officially listed as a limited participant in practice with a foot injury.
Oof.
John Lynch went on the radio in the Bay Area today and said that he would, there's no official designation yet, but he would consider Jordan Elliott questionable for Sunday. Why does this matter? That's a big guy in the trenches. You know, we're worried about the playmakers, right? Well, here's why it matters. That means the 49ers will ostensibly be starting a fourth string defensive tackle.
Oof.
Alongside Malik Collins, who's like their number two. And then aside from that, the Niners are constantly rotating. So now you're rotating down to your fifth, sixth, seventh defensive tackles. They might have to call up two guys just to play that position from the practice squad. They're in bad shape in the middle of their defensive line. And this is on top of a defense that was already in disarray. This is on top of a defense that already couldn't get off the field on third down. with third and short, third and long, whatever. So now you have a good running team in the Patriots who are going to be able to, or theoretically could be able to get into second and third and short really consistently, where now it doesn't matter what your personnel is. Getting a stop on third and short is hard.
Yeah.
And I think the Patriots are going to be able to attack what has suddenly become a very real weakness for the 49ers, where I think the Niners have the players to go fix that. I think they have a good coaching staff to overcome those injury problems and scheme up what they need to scheme up to avoid having Kevin Givens and T.Y. McGill doing too much in terms of run stopping. But, man, that's where this could get sideways. I agree with you. Because if the Patriots are getting Jacoby Brissett into second or third and short, like I said, it doesn't matter what your personnel is. That's a hard situation to live in.
I totally agree. Hey, Kyle, we do have some news coming up.
Yeah. And
we got our guys. D'Lo and Casey. Yeah. Our guys, D'Lo and Casey, will have Kings superstar center, Domantas Sabonis, on at 12:50. Let's go. Got a little Domas.
Oh, that's not what I wanted. Hang on. Turn that down. Yeah, Domantas Sabonis on this very radio station at 12:50. Hell yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so tap in. Make sure to lock in. Of course, lock in with us 10 a.m. to noon every single day. We're here Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We're doing the show 10 a.m. to noon. We hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And D'Lo and KC at 12:50 are going to have Domantas Sabonis. So stick around just all day. Just hang out. We're vibing. We're here. We're talking sports. We're having a great time.
That's what you should be doing anyways.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And if you miss the show, where should they get the show if they miss the show, Kyle?
Well, if they miss this program, James, that's a great question. You can subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show wherever you get your podcasts. And you might be like, why isn't it called The Insiders? I don't know. That's for people who make more money than I do. It's called the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. It's the podcast version of this program. So you have a couple of options. One, you can do that because you only get to listen to a little. And you go, hey, I want to catch something I missed, or maybe you want to re-listen to something. Option number two is you already listened to the whole show and you're like, eh, if I want to revisit it, I can go back on YouTube or whatever. That's all great, but help us out. Help out your boys. And just subscribe to the pod. You can go. You don't even have to give it a listen if you don't want. Just hit that subscribe button wherever you get your pods, and we would appreciate the hell out of it. Thank you, everybody who has done that already. Thank you, everybody who will do that. How do the Niners get a win on Sunday? James, let's get to 49ers keys to victory, number one.
Ooh. My first key, protect Brock Purdy at all costs. The dude's got back problems, and a lot of that, it's because he's shouldering load of everything. And you got to protect this dude. He's taken a couple of big hits, even if he's not getting sacked a bunch. He has taken some hits, and they need to figure out a way to protect him.
Yeah, man, that's big time. Interesting thing from 49ers offensive line coach Chris Forster yesterday. It sounds like the Niners are working out a couple of different players who, like, not working out free agents, like moving a couple of guys to right tackle in practice. So down the line here, we might see a little bit of a shakeup on the 49ers offensive line. Key number one for me, you got to get off the field on third down, man. You can't let the Patriots start sustaining drives. You can't let them stay in the game. You know, okay, you got a touchdown early, but hey, there's a 16-play touchdown drive to score the game. Just that's not acceptable. You have to get off the field.
I totally agree. It's been a problem that's plagued them throughout the early part of this season. Just figure it out.
More on the third down woes coming up in coming up on Mad Props in about 30 minutes here. Not even that. About 10 minutes. James, number two.
Force Brissett or May to beat you. I don't know who's going to start a quarterback. It doesn't matter. Neither one of them are very good. Mm-hmm. This team is super unbalanced. Well, they are super balanced. They're like basically 175 yards passing, 180 yards rushing. That's kind of who they are. Mm-hmm. You need to figure out a way to stop those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to figure out a way to stop the run and make those guys beat you.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. If you can get them, and the way you do that is getting them in second and third and long. Make them drop back. Make them throw it. I'm guessing it'll be Jacoby Brissett. And part of the thing is they just don't have the horses in the passing game.
Yeah.
Even if Jacoby Brissett was this awesome quarter, and he's fine, but there's not a ton of weapons there for him. Number two for me, no special teams shenanigans. No big kickoff returns, no big punt returns, no weird fake punts. I don't need any of that. No special team shenanigans. Do what you got to do. And if you're expecting a fake punt, get a stop.
That's right.
Number three, James.
For me, the money guys need to step up. They got a bunch of guys on this roster that make a ton of money. And whether it's Trent Williams or it's Warner or it's Bosa or it's Ayuk or it's Kittle.
Yep.
These are your money guys. And when you mention the Patriots and how they don't have the specialty players, they almost do the opposite of what the 49ers do. They don't pay specialty guys. They don't pay your perimeter receivers and your all-star, superstar running backs. They build their team a different way. Well, the 49ers do, and they need these guys to be a big piece of how this season turns around. It needs to happen now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. A players got to be A players. That's it. Fred Warner was, it went under the radar because he's usually so good and a million other things happened. Fred Warner was putrid last week. And straight up, he's got to be better. Nick Bosa, flat out, has to be better. That's kind of the long and short of it. I couldn't agree more with you there. Number three for me, hey, normally we do the turnover bit here, like win the turnover battle, but we're scrapping that this week. You still got to do that, but that's not a key to victory. Maybe in a huge spot, don't throw it at Ronnie Bell. I don't know.
Can I get an amen?
Maybe if there's a big point in the game, a big third down, maybe don't throw it to number 10. You want to throw it to him early. Maybe you want to try and get him involved, you know, get his confidence back, and you want to throw him a little screen pass earlier or something. That's fine. You know, I rock with that idea. A little slant, a little something. Okay, fine. Big spot. I don't want him on the field, dog. I want no parts.
Second down. Find him in second down. Let him get some burn.
There you go.
First down, pass, all that stuff. Yep.
One score game in the fourth quarter, don't want him on the field.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Not a little bit, no.
Oh, man.
We're on the same page, Kyle.
Thank God. dang. What's the one question you're hoping D'Lo and Casey asked Domantas Sabonis? Domantas Sabonis, if you missed it, by the way, if you happened to tune in the last 8 minutes, Domantas Sabonis joining this very radio station, D'Lo and KC. He will be on at 12:50 today, so in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'm kind of curious about is how much did he learn from the 1 week that he was with DeMar DeRozan and how he can integrate him into their system and how he can, you know, sort of play off of him and build like some chemistry as a two-man game partner. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the one thing that I would like to know. Outside of that, you know, it wasn't that long ago we talked to Domas at his basketball camp. And I still think that, you know, there's a lot we can learn from these guys, but I want to see him on the court. So, yeah.
I would ask him why the hell he doesn't shoot the ball more.
Oh, would you?
Holding his feet to the fire.
No. I have never been someone who thinks that Domas needs to shoot more. I think he shoots.
Domas, put the ball on the rim, bro.
The games where he shoots six times, though, yeah, okay. But outside of that, like, I think he does everything within the flow of the offense, and I'm totally fine with it.
Oh, man. All right. We've got mad props coming up. Is this a must win for the Raiders? We'll talk about that. Kings Media Day is on Monday. We got to get into that. So much to get to coming up on the Insiders. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here. James Hamm over there. Also joining us.
What?
Yeah. Also joining us, the producer of D'Lo and KC, Jesse Tapia, in the building. He's going to join us for mad props, if that's okay, James.
James, is that okay with you?
James,
that sounds
right?
Great. Are you going to ask Domas a tough question? Are you going to ask him if he's going
to
shoot the ball
more?
Yeah,
dude, you got to hold his feet to the fire.
I guess. That's what
ask
you
him why
want,
he doesn't
man.
Shoot more threes.
Imagine I just pop up, Domas, what's up with the shots, bro?
More like, why aren't you more like Chris Porzingis? That's what you should ask him.
Fair question.
Jesse Tapia joined Mad Props last week. And went, hey, this is a lot more fun when we have three people doing it. So you're just going to join us now.
Sounds good.
This is now a bit that you're in on. As we get ready for D'Lo and KC here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, let's get to Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Yeah. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, here it is, sponsored by nobody. Could be sponsored by you. Typically, we'll do a Niner game and a Kings game. But because there's no basketball on just yet, very soon, though, right around the corner, we'll get to more of that in a second. We're doing the Niner game and the Raider game. Picking two different things, two different props that I've made up.
Raiders game, I was thinking about on the way here. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little win. It'd be a nice little win if they could beat the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so James, here we go. I'm going to throw the first one to you. Juwan Jennings targets or Zamir White rushing attempts?
Ooh.
Targets for 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings or rushing attempts for Raiders running back Zamir White?
Ooh, I'm going to go Zamir White here. I think he'll get 8 to 10 carries, even though that defense is still formidable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Juwan Jennings is going to get that many targets.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm going to go Zamir White in this one. Juwan Jennings is going to get his, but it won't be as much as it was last week, I think.
I'm going to go the same way because I think a high target game for Juwan Jennings might be 7 or 8 targets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Zamir White, even if he's not super productive, is 10 to 12 games.
Mm.
Jesse, 49ers total points or Gardner Minshew passing attempts?
Ooh, I'm gonna go Gardner Minshew passing attempts.
Okay.
I don't know if they're gonna be able to run the ball that great. So they're gonna be forced to throw the ball out in this one, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. James?
I'm gonna go 49ers. Yep. Give me what the question is again.
Perfect. 49ers total points or Gardner Minshew passing attempts?
Yeah, yeah, 49ers total points. I think Minshew's going to get in trouble with that Browns defensive line, and we might see Aiden O'Connell again. And the transfer of power from one bad quarterback to another.
That's a good call. I think I'm going to... I have
news real quick that might affect this.
Okay, go ahead.
Devontae Adams is out on Sunday, as is Max Crosby. That's defense or whatever. So just updates. And Michael Myers out on Sunday.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. So no Max Crosby, no Devontae Adams. James, does that change your pick here?
No, I'm solidifying my pick with that.
I'm trying to decide if I trust the 49ers offense to score 30 plus.
The Patriots defense is like good too. It's not one of the top of the top or whatever, but
I'm going Minshew.
I'm gonna stick with Minshew too.
Okay, very good.
I'm going Niners.
All right. The next one, I'll go first on this one. 49ers sacks or Raiders turnovers. I'm going Raiders turnovers on this because I don't think the 49ers are gonna get a sack on Sunday.
Not one.
Actually, you know what?
Maybe two.
I feel committed now.
A Gardner Minshew interception, maybe a sack from Leonard Floyd and one from Nick Bosa. That's how you get it right there.
Yeah, like Leonard Floyd's got to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm changing it. Jesse, you swung me there. I'm going with the Niners. I think this is going to be one of those things where I feel like the opposite of a thing always happens in the NFL. Like you think, oh man, this team's got all these defensive linemen out. They're not going to be able to rush the passer. And then, oh, lo and behold, they're doing something different defensively now. The other offense wasn't ready for it. I think we're going to get a bounce back Leonard Floyd game at some point. I've got to lean on the idea that Nick Bosa is going to break out eventually.
You'd expect your elite player to do so.
Yeah, so I like that. James, who do you got?
I am going Niners, I think, especially if New England decides to mix it up with our quarterback play and go Brissett and then start to pepper in May. That's where you get the sacks on those young quarterbacks.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm going to go 49ers too.
All right, it's a clean sweep for the 49ers, just like the first one was a clean sweep for the Raiders. All right, number four. It's an interesting one. Jordan Mason receiving yards. This is for James. Jordan Mason receiving yards or tackles by Raiders linebacker Robert Spillane.
Oh, man. I saw what happened with Kyle's prize pick last week, and it was vicious.
Just
brutal.
It was
horrible. He needed 12, and he got 11 and a half, right?
Yeah, I got 11.
He got 11. I'm going to go Raiders there. I'm going to go with their linebackers. Been playing really well.
Yeah, he has.
Jesse?
How many receiving yards did Jordan Mason have last week?
11.
11? I'm going to go Jordan Mason. I'm going to go Jordan Mason.
Here's what I'm waiting on with Jordan Mason. At some point, he's going to catch a ball in the flat with nobody in front of him.
Exactly. All he needs is one catch for 15 yards.
At some point, that's going to happen. It's what I thought would happen last week. It didn't. I think it's going to happen this week.
There we go.
Against a little bit better Patriot, or the Patriots defense is way better than the Rams. I'm expecting Jordan Mason to have that big catch at some point. And Robert Spillane's been as good as any off-ball linebacker in the league this year. You pencil him in 11, 12 tackles. But I'm thinking there's one big catch in there for Jordan Mason. Jesse, Brandon Ayuk receiving yards or total points in the Raiders-Browns game?
Oh, Brandon Ayuk receiving yards. All he needs is about maybe 27 receiving yards, and that might do it.
To clear the total?
Bro, this is going to be an ugly game. It's going to be defense, 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 like... How are the Raiders supposed to score on Sunday? Brock Bowers, you're on one of my fantasy teams, so salute to you. But I guess Jacoby Myers, Patriots great out there.
James?
It's not going to take much, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that there's going to be that much scoring, so I'm going Ayuk.
Deshaun Watson can't play quarterback. It's going to be ugly.
I'll rock with Raiders, Browns total score.
All right, you're going to lose that one, I guess.
Contrarian.
Yeah, we'll start with that one on Monday.
Okay, great. Let's see. No Max Crosby, no Malcolm Kuntz. I think that you're going to see Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper and Jerome Ford. No David Njoku this week. Tyler Conklin out for the Browns. Oh, my God. This might be like 6-0.
Yes, I'm telling you. All Brandon Ayuk needs to do is catch two passes. Like, all right, we won that one.
Oh. All right, I've made the pick. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
I'm rooting for points. I'll do this one. Patriots third down conversion rate or Raiders total rushing yards. And I put this down, and then I went to look up the numbers to see if they were even close. I thought maybe, hey, you're underestimating the Raiders run game. It hasn't been that bad. No. The Raiders average 51 rushing yards per game as a team. 51. The 49ers' opponents are averaging 52.9% on third downs this year.
Blake, go ahead. You go first on this one.
I'm going Patriots third down percentage.
All right, that's where I'm going too.
Yeah,
Gardner Minshew might have to win this game on Sunday for the Raiders. Like, Cleveland's defense is legit. I don't think the Raiders haven't been able to run the ball at all this season. You literally just let throughout the stat. I'm gonna go with the Patriots third down percentage.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the same. It's a clean sweep.
Another clean sweep. I just like I'm envisioning a version of this game. That's mad props. Thanks everybody for playing along. We'll revisit Monday. The thing I keep envisioning in this game is the Patriots just living in 2nd and 4 because they're able to run the ball so effectively. And okay, maybe they kick a bunch of field goals and they can't score in the red zone. Maybe they turn it over a couple times. Maybe the couple times they get into 3rd and long, they can't convert. So I could see the Niners winning pretty handily. But on the other hand, they beat the Jets pretty good in week one. 32-19 was the final there. It was 32-12 before a garbage time touchdown by the Jets. And the Jets went 60% on third downs. That's just...
The Niners have their issues on defense, but I don't know if the Patriots just have enough to get it going on offense this week. So it's gonna, if the Patriots have any chance, it's going to be ugly. Like a defensive game, I think.
Wait, did
the
we?
The offense can't move the ball or anything like that.
We all picked the Raiders to have more rushing yards than the Patriots, their down percentage?
No, we picked all the Patriots to have better their down percentage.
Okay, I wrote that down wrong, so thankfully I asked, because I was like, man, this
Wait,
doesn't sound like we
I
all...
thought the Niners were going to hold them under that.
Oh, no, we've lost it now.
Okay, revisiting. Hang on. We got.
Oh, no, hit the music.
Fire the music back up. We're back. Ugh, beat dropped in the middle of that. What number will be higher? The Patriots' third down conversion rate or the Raiders' total rushing yards?
Oh, I'm going to go Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you think the Raiders will have more rushing yards than the Patriots' third down conversion rate. Okay, Jesse.
I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the Patriots' third down. I don't know. They're both...
It's tough.
Yes, it's
game.
Tough. Like,
That's
they're saying
the
in the chatty house, like, the Browns starting line's going to be hurt. But it's like, yes, the Raiders' just running game just stinks, though.
They have 51 rushing yards per game.
I'm gonna
and you've got their coach talking about how they can't learn zone blocking.
And it's like on the other side, it's like, okay, but there's Jacoby Brissett. Like, Ramondre Stevenson might get us a couple first downs or whatever when we need it on third down. But I guess I'll just stick. I'm not going to second guess it. I'm going to stick with the Patriots third down percentage.
That's what I'm doing, too. And James, you're going Raiders rushing yards.
I am.
You're buying into the Niners defense.
Yep.
Perfect.
This week.
All right.
Only.
There it is.
Good stuff. Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you, man.
All right, see you guys.
All right, you can hear Jesse on D'Lo and KC coming up in about 15 minutes. And speaking of coming up in about 15 minutes, in about one hour, Domantas Sabonis, Kings Superstar Center, will be joining D'Lo and KC. What question would you ask Domas? Or what question do you want to hear the guys ask Domas that's not cereal related? Trying to figure that
out. All right.
Yeah. Trying to hold his feet to the fire. You know, why don't you put the ball in the rim? I want to see 28 points a game. Domas, what's up? That's all. No, it's just that's it. It's not crazy. No, I think you hit the nail on the head, James. And we'll transition to Kings talk here because Kings media day is on Monday.
Oh yeah.
And then the day after that, training camp starts. Like basketball season is nigh. I refuse to say basketball is back. Basketball, NBA basketball, let me clarify, NBA basketball will not be back until the first opening season or opening night tip-off of the regular season.
Yep.
That is when basketball is officially back. It's not training camp, it's not the preseason. That's my take.
Okay.
Basketball is nigh, though. It is right there. Where are we at with the Kings? I feel like right now, we talked about this a little the other day, but it feels like, hey, this is a 50-win playoff team, chance for more. Like everything, like the vibes feel really, really good again after being down for most of last year.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. You're in wait and see mode. We got to see how, you know, everything cooks in the pot here and how they integrate DeMar DeRozan into the system. But this team looks much improved. They look like they went out and, I mean, you go out and you add a star-level player, a guy who instantly becomes your third-best player and allows players like Keegan Murray and Malik Monk to maybe fit into better roles as, mm-hmm. like, fourth, fifth-best players on your team. You know, you're going to get a healthy Kevin Huerter early in the season. You know, you've added some nice pieces like Jordan McLaughlin, who I think can, just by shooting alone, can provide as much or more than what we had last year from Davion Mitchell. Just, you know, Davion Mitchell, I think, is a great defender, but his inability to consistently hit the three did hurt the team at certain points. And you get a Keon Ellis that is a little more comfortable in his skin and ready to roll. And you know, I'm sure he's been hitting the weight room heavy and maybe added a few pounds during the summer, and he might be ready to play a huge role from early in the season.
Damian Barling from here for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up in about 10 minutes and about an hour. Domantas Sabonis is going to be here. And Damian, you're welcome, by the way. Just letting you know ahead of time. You don't even have to say thanks. It's okay. James and I got you. So you guys can, you know, take it easy and really enjoy the Domantas Sabonis interview.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked the Chatty House for question recommendations, and we're getting some
Jesus
good ones.
Christ.
So okay. I've starred all those for you, so they're in there.
Yeah.
You got to ask about his favorite cereal, obviously.
Of course.
I'm trying to find out why he's not scoring 30 a night. You got to ask him that.
Okay. I got an idea. How about we talk about the series that he's starring in on October 9th and is here to promote? How about we talk about that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. October 9th, Netflix.
So
anyways,
we don't piss off the Kings organization, who I'm not quite sure likes us very much anyways. The great part about this is you got this is true behind the scenes story. I was calling because I was angry. That's why I was calling the Kings. Shannon calls me back and is like, hey, I know you want to talk about Media Day, but you guys want Domas at 12:50? I don't think you got our email. We go over this whole thing about how she sent an email out, but James may have gotten it, but D'Lo and Casey didn't, and James is sick, and she wants James to get better in this whole thing. Anyways, Domas is available at 12:50. You guys want him? Yeah.
Okay, yes, that would also be,
that would be terrific. Okay, great. Send me the link, and can we talk later? All right, man. No problem, Shannon. We'll talk later. This is a
she just did
Patty
this.
House, questions you, for Shannon. Send him over.
I thought, so you got
you won't you won't understand this reference at all, Damien, but she just went, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Nope.
Star Wars.
Do not get that reference at all.
That's so, what she just did.
But she took great care of us. No clue. Absolutely yeah, none.
Okay, so
Jedi
so
mind trick.
Netflix starting five.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask about the juxtaposition between his outfit and Anthony Edwards' outfit?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have some fun with the red carpet special and the trailer and some of that stuff. And I think they would be okay if we threw in a few DeMar DeRozan questions and outlook on the season. But
sure.
I'm excited to talk about this series and, you know, what it's like to be in a series with LeBron and Ant-Man and Tatum and you know, some of the big dogs in the NBA and you know, what that means for you. I know if Matt Graham is listening. Matt, I love you. I just hate this Jiffy Lube logo right over James's face.
Oh, James is in the
three box.
James is a good looking guy, and we got the Jiffy Lube logo. It's like James solely is brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
It doesn't help that when I stand, I block the Jiffy Lube logo on the screen behind me. So let me stand off to the side like this. Everybody, get your car serviced at Jiffy Lube.
There is
brakes,
one. There's
oil,
literally one right there.
Whatever you need.
Right there.
Yeah, but there's more.
Okay.
Over there.
Just trying to help.
Love Matt if you're listening.
Yeah, Matt's the very best. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. I had another Domas question to pitch you.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was.
You're pitching me questions.
Oh, yeah. It's not about the Starting Five documentary, which airs October 9th
That's
on Netflix.
Fine. Okay.
Domantas Sabonis at 12:50 on this very radio station, by the way. We're inside of an hour. can you ask him about the Killer D's nickname?
No, absolutely not. That question is completely out of bounds. And we need to pull Vivek Ranadive aside and tell him, look, man, we're not mature enough for this. Like you cannot be putting tweets out there like
if there
that.
Is Killer D's merchandise,
no.
It's gonna be a problem.
No. And Drew Down is gonna buy all of it.
All of it.
Literally all of it. He's a Warriors guy and he will still buy all of that merchandise.
Absolutely. Real quick here. Sunday in the realm of a not literal, but definitely for the vibes, a must win for the Niners.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're not the Rams. Like, they're not Sean McVay. They're not a divisional opponent. You kind of need this one. And we tried to draw the correlation between the Cowboys and the 49ers. The Cowboys game last night, what the 49ers have to do. The Cowboys win last night. They did not look good last night. I thought Dak did. I thought Dak looked really good. The Cowboys as a whole look like, they have problems. They exhibited the problems we talked about. They got to win, and in the end, it's just kind of like, okay, good. You got to win. That's what the 49ers are facing. Like this, the reaction on Monday if they lose is massive.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction if they win is minimal.
I agree.
And the balance between the two is going to be very, very different. So, yes, vibes, they need to get this win. Their schedule is going to it's going to start to change a little bit.
I think they need to dominate.
I don't care as much about that.
The Cowboys, like I said, you give a little bit of a pass to the Cowboys because it's a Thursday night game on the road, division opponent.
Mm-hmm.
If the Niners beat the Patriots 20-15 and the Patriots have the ball with a chance to win at the end.
That's
a problem.
Yeah, that's not the best. Yeah. That's not the best.
Neither is this.
Why is this happening? No, this is fantastic.
Why is this happening?
No, we're a billion-dollar multimedia
Jesse,
company.
Fix it.
Yeah, this is going great. Great.
So it's not me this time, it's you?
No, it's literally us. We're freezing inside the studio. This is perfect. We got an hour to fix this.
It says connection is unstable.
How awesome is this?
Same.
Domantas Sabonis is going to join us, and the internet is going to crash.
Hey,
there it is.
Frozen Domas?
I can't stress enough. Like, I will leave. I'll just leave.
You can
I've been wanting to walk out on this show for about a week and a half. This just might be the day.
That would be actually a perfect time to reset the Netflix special. Like, hey, if you want to see Domas in crystal clear 4K Ultra HD,
yes.
Tune in to
Unless
the Starting Five on Netflix.
I'm the one that's frozen. Then that's a little bit of a problem.
I will take a troubleshooting step at the end of the show, which is coming up right now, to try and make that so it's not the case. And I'll walk you through how we do it.
Okay.
You leave the studio and then come back in.
Excellent.
That's what we're going to try.
Okay.
D'Lo and KC coming up next.
Domantas Sabonis will join them at 12:50. More importantly, I'll join them at 12:15.
Most important guest of the day.
Yeah, 12:15 and 12:50. Yeah,
Jake
Gaten,
Eddie Gonzalez, all with us today.
Oh my God.
We gave James the pass. I had no idea James was going to be here. You can go to bed, James.
Yeah, no. Sweet.
We have the whole 3 o'clock hour booked. You're good.
I'm fading a little bit.
We got you.
I can't wait. I'll be tapped in. Everybody else tap in. James, thank you so much. Your flu game. We appreciate you hanging out and gutting that out. And we're done for the weekend. D'Lo and KC coming up next. We'll talk to you Monday at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.